Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Summertime. Moms and dad and the kids crammed into the station wagon going camping for a week. I remember that. Going with grandma and grandpa on a trip to Montana that you'll never forget. I'll never forget that trip to Montana. Catching your first fish with your grandfather and frying it up for breakfast. Still remember that. One of the great memories I've ever had. Going to your first baseball game at the worst stadium ever built and not caring. That was Candlestick Park. Playing outside in your neighborhood with your best friends until your mom came out and said, hey, you got to come in and you got to go home because it's dark outside. Remember all that very, very well. Going to the drive-in, sneaking in the trunk of your friend's older brother's car and not getting caught. Man, that was a lot of fun. And going to the river all day and wishing that the day would never end. Those are just some of the great memories of summertime that we have. Friends, family, barbecues, all of those things. Maybe even on that pontoon boat out there as well. Maybe over in a lake somewhere, maybe in Michigan somewhere. Joining me, my good friend, as always, on TGIF Friday, our favorite day of the week, my good friend Andrew Wellborn. Andrew, how you doing, buddy?
You know how I'm doing, man. You know, you hit all the points exactly correct. It is summertime. Everybody's got memories of summertime, but let me tell you, some of my best memories of summertime happen to be out here at what I call my favorite place in the world, a chain of lakes out here in Picnic, Michigan, just outside of Detroit, just outside of Ann Arbor, Michigan. I gotta tell you, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and all my friends are over here. They're kind of consuming some stuff that I really want to consume myself. But I have to tell you, the weather is perfect. I gotta tell you, man, it's my favorite place in the world on my favorite day. Happy to be here, guys. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And
of course, Tim, as you know, we are where America's voice is heard.
And we are traveling. You know, Andrew makes that trek out there, and it's always great to hear. I can hardly wait to hear what's going on in the great state of Michigan over there. We've got Stan and we've got Christopher in the studio with us today. And I wanted to do a little bit of an upbeat thing because, you know what, summertime, schools are back this week most everywhere, at least here in northeastern California. A lot of great memories growing up, and I hope that I pass those along to my kids and now my grandkids out there as we get together and we have a lot of fun and you're out there having a great time. You're remembering things that you used to do as well, and I'm sure the guys here in the studio are as well, Andrew.
Well, I'm out here, as you guys know, with my great friend, Mr. Rob Klippel, and his wife, Ann. And I have to tell you, Bob and Lori Puckett are out here with us, too. I'm glad to see you guys come out. They were out here last year. And unfortunately, Tim, I know you're aware of this, but we're not streaming live, unfortunately. And, of course, one of my favorite girls is here with us, Miss Morgan Lacey Klippel. And, of course, you know, she's going to be a senior in high school this year. I cannot believe it, man.
Wow.
Speaking of that, a senior in high school. Man. That just shocked me right there to say that. But I have to tell you, you know, there's a lot of positive stuff that's happening out here in Detroit. And you know, man, you know the Detroit news, the bankruptcy out here in Detroit has, you know, been a huge part of the national media, especially out in California with some of the stuff we'll talk about in the bottom part of the show as far as how it's going to relate and I think how it's going to translate over to the West Coast from out here in the Midwest out here in Detroit.
Absolutely. And I believe if a quote, I believe that there were some of the candidates, the Republican side and maybe the Democrats, were touring Michigan in the last couple of days over there, Andrew, as well.
Well, I didn't see any of that. Unfortunately, I have not been paying attention to anything in the news. I've just been on a pontoon boat for the last couple of days with a bunch of adult beverages. And, you know, I'm trying to catch some stuff here and there. But, yeah, the candidates are all over the place. We could talk about Donald Trump. I think we are in Trump country on this part of the state. I'm not really sure, but, yeah, I'm getting a lot of consensus out here in the crowd.
I can hear him in the background.
Trump land, so we'll have some fun stuff to talk about him on the last segment of the show, as always.
All right, Andrew. And the weather out there I know is absolutely perfect, kind of like it is out here. And that's kind of a place that I'd really like to go. So anywhere in the Midwest. Kind of the heartland of America. Great places to visit. You could probably tell us a little bit about some of the things out there that you can see, Andrew.
Well, all I can see is Sparty green and white, I got to tell you. And then, of course, I see a little big Michigan blue over here with us. And, you know, I'm wearing a big Sparty shirt, of course, in honor of my good friend Rob Klippel. And he's actually wearing one of my Texas shirts that I lost 2 years ago. And ironically, it showed up here.
Weird.
I've been looking for that shirt for 2 years, and I found it here for the last 2 years, but I got to tell you, you know, it's kind of funny because where I'm located, I don't think I've ever seen the state of Michigan's flag. All we see is a big blue or a big green, but as far as what the Michigan flag looks like, I couldn't tell you, my friend.
Absolutely, and you know, I can understand that. We got a couple of minutes left in the opening segment, Andrew, and I don't even know if you've been following what's going on in the markets around the world. Of course, you know, China has devalued their currency, and we're seeing the ripple effect here in the United States with the stocks the last week or so really going down a lot.
Well, it's going to be a big point of concern for most Americans and people out in California. You know, obviously the stock market is going to affect the 401k plans and, in our case, the 457. But basically those supplemental retirement plans are something people are watching. Of course, the stock market is going nuts, as we say. And it has everything to do with the fact that Donald Trump is running, as we've said on past shows. Wall Street realizes they cannot control this man. And should he actually win the White House, Wall Street's going to be out. So, you know, that volatility is going to be in the markets for sure, without a doubt. So the big thing, folks, is just don't panic. You know, you never, ever lose a dime unless you sell it as a loss. So just stay calm. The next 18 months, that Dow Jones and the markets, they're going to struggle to find a direction.
Now, do you think, okay, I was going to ask you about that, Andrew. Is it going to play out depending on who might get the nomination or, you know, who maybe gets whittled away in the Republican and Democratic side in the next 16, 18 months? Are we going to see that volatility playing and the Dow hovering around where it is right now until the general election next year?
Well, historically, that's exactly what happens until there's a direction with the U.S. government. You know, the world markets pull their money out of the United States market, as we see, and, you know, that volatility is going to be there. It's a great buying opportunity. Of course, anybody who knows anything about the market is going to tell you that. So just kind of, you know, just kind of batten down a little bit. This is a normal historical trend going into any White House, going into any presidential election. You know, it's just a direction until, even though you have, you know, maybe a direction in the United States Congress, we all know, obviously, the executive officer is going to be the one who either allows the direction or stops the direction.
You know, the last couple of days, California Governor Jerry Brown has said a lot about nothing. I don't know if you've been following that or not over there, but talking about the transportation tax or fee, that what might happen in here, because he's really harping and really hard on what the roads and transportation here in California. And he's saying a lot of gobbledygook. I have no idea what the governor is saying, but you know the far left of his group and the Democrats, they want to raise those fees, but he's not committing to anything yet.
Well, you know, a lot of critics will say this, and I'll take the heat on this, but Governor Jerry Brown from California seems to be suffering from a little bit of dementia as far as some of that, like you said, the babbling that he makes in the state. He gets away with it in the press. Nobody ever wants to hold him accountable for that, but you're right, absolutely. $8 billion was the number that we predicted on the 503 report, and guess what? It's around $8 billion, a special session that the legislature is holding right now in California, out there in Sacramento. Yeah, it's about this, and you notice that nobody really wants to talk about about what Jerry Brown says we're going to have to do, which is raise taxes on gasoline. And heaven forbid, that would be absolutely the last thing we need out there on the West Coast.
And they're talking about the cap and trade more as well. What do you got for us on this day, my friend?
Okay, folks, California and across this nation, time for something you may not know. Today's day is August 21st. The year is 1321, ready? 160 Jews of Fincon, France, was burned at the stake. 1858, well, it was the first Lincoln-Douglas debate. We all know anything about debating that set the standard for all debates that we've seen since then. And, of course, 1864, Major General Nathan B. Forrest, the assault on Memphis, Tennessee. And then a tribute here to this great state of Michigan, 1897, Oldsmobile begins operation as a General Motors Corporation division.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, truly United States-wide today in America, from here in northeastern California and the great state of Michigan. Coming up, the half-hour show, more to talk about on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, right here on 1240K, showing live at SierraDailyNews.com.
Live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains, it's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard on our favorite day of the week, and that is Friday. And joined by my good friend, usually sitting here on my right, but he is way right today, the great state of Michigan, Andrew Wilborn. Buddy, how you doing out there, pal?
Hey, we're doing great. A beautiful day out here in my favorite place in the world, Pinckney, Michigan, on the chain of lakes, I have to tell you. We're hanging out with some great friends, Bob and Laurie Puckett. Thank you for being here. Of course, Anna Rob Klippel, our host, man, been friends with these guys forever. And, of course, Morgan, she is somewhere around here. You know how those teenagers are. They do disappear. But, yes, folks, we're out here having a great time out here in the heartland, in the middle of the Midwest. And I have to tell you, man, the big debate going on right now out here in this part of the country is who's better, the green team or the blue team. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And you know, Tim, we are where America's voice is heard, my friend.
And we are. And I know you're having a great time in summertime, kind of the theme we have. You know, the end of the summer for you and your wife out there having a great time and talking about memories that I had as a kid that I passed along to my kids and grandkids, and nothing quite like that. But you know what? We're kind of gearing up. The dog days of summer for baseball, but they're getting that way for the Republican candidates and the Democratic candidates out there as well, stumping all over the U.S.
Well, the Tigers are out of town, so I'm not going to catch a game, but I'm wearing Michigan State Sparty green, and a good friend over here, Mr. Gene Donnelly, he's wearing his Michigan blue, a neighbor of our friends up here. And I have to tell you, you know, I hope some of these candidates start playing a little bit better than the Tigers are playing right now on the national level as far as some of their campaign messaging. But the big story right now, guys, you know, the big story that's coming out of Michigan, that it's not really filtering that much out on the West Coast, as we know, is really what appears to be the recovery of the great city of Detroit, Michigan. And I have to tell you, Tim, lots of talk about on their path to recovery, who's responsible for it, and some of the direction they're going to do. Now, it's not all great news, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, as a result of some of the things that Detroit has done, is going to set the standard and the model. You know, it's going to affect all state employees, I think, eventually out on the West Coast in California.
Now, we were a couple of years ago, Mayor Dave Bing and the governor back there, they got together, and it was like $13 to $20 billion. You know, it was a big chunk of change that they were talking about for the great city of Detroit. And it's really nice to hear that, Andrew, in the last couple of years, that things are starting to turn around there in the great state of Michigan and the city of Detroit.
You know, as Christopher Bennett, who's in the studio with us here today, good to have you there, Chris, as he says all the time, I mean, you know, you have to succeed, you have to fail. That's the way America is. It's capitalism. Should the government interfere with the process? And I have to tell you, out here, the big name and the big capital of interest, his name is Dan Gilbert from Quicken Loans. And They seem to have moved downtown Detroit and making some significant purchases and trying to revise and revitalize that economy down there. It looks pretty neat, looks pretty cool. You've got the Downtown Detroit Partnership along with the Detroit Economic Group. And like I said, they've purchased a lot of these older buildings, and rather than tearing them down, they're looking to basically remodel them into some nice apartments slash, you know, condos. Some of his casinos now are starting to take off down there. And just in Quicken Loans alone, by relocating into Detroit, he's brought 1,700 employees to the downtown area. And then, of course, with all of his companies combined, he's over 11,000 employees downtown Detroit that's part of trying to revitalize that economy.
And it is great. And I want to ask Christopher Bennett a real quick question, because he harped on it just a moment ago. Do you foresee, because of what is going on with the Republicans right now and trying to make America great again, Donald Trump, do you see that more jobs, no matter who might get elected next year? I know it's early, but are we going to see more industry staying here in the United States? What do you think, Christopher?
Yeah, I think the industry is going to stay in the United States, and it's all because the anticipation for new light over the hill. We know that the Republicans have taken the House. We know that the Republicans have taken the Senate, and we're about to take the executive branch. And to everybody, that looks like hope. That looks like something that we can turn around. That looks like something that we can invest in and just start turning America around again.
Absolutely. Andrew, a question for you. You're talking about Quicken Loans back there and what a big company that is. Are they seeing the small mom-and-pop companies, you know, less than 50 employees or so, are they making a nice comeback in the state of Michigan and in Detroit?
Well, I mean, most of those companies have been existing for a long time, but they're outside of the area of Detroit. But right now, you know, you're seeing the yuppie group, you know, the young urban professionals beginning to emerge through Quicken Loans and other companies throughout Detroit area. But the problem still is this is really, even though over 11,000 new employees, 12,000 new employees have entered into the downtown Detroit market, there are still 32,000 current and future retirees that have a pension cost to the people of Detroit at about $500 million annually. Now, that represents one-third of the city's budget. And so, you know, so think about that real quick. What that means is that, you know, it's more than twice the city's annual municipal income tax, you know, $500 million. Contributions are not large enough right now. They're speculating to cover a lot of these pension obligations. And, of course, the investment returns must average 6.75% or better over the next 10 years in order to sustain those costs. So as a result, man, you know, there's some deals that have been made. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because the Detroit settlement, part of the Detroit settlement, look, who really got screwed over were the bondholders, man. The bondholders right now are only going to receive 13 cents on the dollar. Now, that dollar represents $2 billion in bonds. Now, think about that. I mean, the bondholders are the big losers here. Now, as part of the Detroit settlement, look, this is what the average state employee, doesn't seem like it's that much, but, boy, when it adds up, it adds up. They're looking at a medical increase, which is a big deal for state employees in California, to increase up to $500 a month as a retiree. Now, keep in mind, the average pension plan for the average municipal employee out here in Detroit is about $19,000 a year and up. That is a huge, huge hit. The COLAs, the cost of living adjustments that we're so familiar with as state employees, well, they're being eliminated as part of the plan. Any future cost of living agreement, it's not going to happen for the retirees of Detroit. And then on top of that, they're looking at a 4.5% reduction in their current monthly pension payment. The 80-20 plan that we're talking about, like I said, it's gone to $125 a month stipend is what they're proposing for the retirees, and which is going to be a part of that $500 a month possible increase just in health care.
Stan Barnes is here with us as well. You know, we're all of us here talking on the radio here today on 1240 KSU and on the web as well, have pensions with the state. Yeah. And, you know, that's a big deal over there. And we've been talking about it, Stan, here in California for a while. You know, what's happening in the Detroit area is going to come back here. Are we going to see some things happen maybe here because of what's happening over there? What do you think, Stan?
I wonder about that. I think that the industry portion that left, that migrated away from Detroit, the city and the state itself, is not coming back quickly. You're going to see a lot of yuppies moving in, urban renewal, this kind of thing going on. But getting that industry out there is going to be the big linchpin. Here in California, I think we've got enough industry right now to support us. I think we might be okay for a while. But if we continue down along the lines, as we have been, about scaring industry away, we're going to have deep trouble. And hey, Andrew, while I got you here real quick, make sure you get some White Castles for me, buddy.
You know, Stan, you're absolutely right. Now, most experts are agreeing that this plan that Detroit has settled into is going to set the future plans for future cities that enter into a bankruptcy. And as we know, you know, we got, you know, some big ones out there in California looking at it. Stockton obviously has filed its bankruptcy. San Bernardino County has. Vallejo, we know that they kind of settled their way out, but they're starting to run into some troubles because they did not address that pension obligation. So, without a doubt, I think that the wave is coming from the West. From the Midwest and heading to the West Coast. So, without a doubt, man, this is big news that we have to pay attention to, especially what's going on with this new California pension reform, the Voter Empowerment Act that just made title and summary out of the Attorney General's office out in California.
We will. I'd like to talk about that coming up in a minute. Andrew, the economy in Michigan, I really don't know a lot about it other than what you think of the automobiles. For 100 years, that was it. Are you seeing businesses? Are there businesses coming back to the Detroit area because things are getting better? Are they seeing that, not just like the big company we were talking about a moment ago with the 17,000, but are other companies coming back to Detroit?
Well, that remains to be seen. Depends on who you talk to. I mean, obviously, you know, the economy is mostly based on automobile production. As we've said in past shows, it's just amazing that every aspect of an automobile is an industry when it's itself. And so it's produced and it's brought to the United Auto Workers to be able to put it back together. So, I mean, it's interesting to see right now. I mean, the economy kind of looks the same as far as the most part every time I come out here to Pinckney. I think we've seen a little bit of growth in certain areas, but it just remains to be seen, Tim. But, you know, the big thing for us is understanding out in California is that, you know, the retirement settlement of Detroit is probably going to be in play in the future out in California.
Absolutely. You know, Andrew, just real quick, thinking about Tim's question, I think there's a reason that Elon Musk decided to move his battery factory to Nevada, to Reno. I think there's a reason that he's not based out of Detroit.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, it's interesting talking about my good friend Rob Klippel, man. It's, you know, part of the company that he works with is out there in Nevada, working with Musk and the Tesla. And so, you know, the emerging technology of batteries is interesting. And, of course, you know, the F-150s have got the new aluminum framing we've been talking about for the last 4 years.
Right.
They're just now starting hitting the market. It's really, really a big thing that's happening. I mean, they're everywhere. They're beautiful out here. And it seems like most of the people out here in Michigan are supporting the Ford industry.
TALK and toll free is the number at 1-866-882-1277. The 503 report from Michigan today, right here on 1240 KSUE.
Lassen Senior Services and Wheels West present Lassen County's first barbecue cook-off Saturday, October 3rd, 11 a.m. Tractor Supply parking lot. For entry forms or more information, contact Penny Arts at Executive Director at LassenSeniorServices.org or call her 257-2113. Categories are brisket, pork butt, pork ribs, and chicken, judging based on KCBS scoring. Proceeds benefit Lassen Senior Services. A free seminar, What Makes Seeding Successful? Presenting new technologies, research, and strategies for rangeland seedings in the Intermountain area, featuring researchers from the Agricultural Research Station in Burns, Oregon. Tuesday, September 1st, at the Alturas Forest Service Office, 225 West 8th Street, 9:30 to 12:30. Presented by UC Cooperative Extension, Modoc County. Call 233-6400 for more information.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, California, time for something you may not know. And across this nation, today's date, August 21st, 1959, Hawaii becomes the 50th and the last state to join this great union. 1965, Gemini 5 launched into Earth orbit. Two astronauts, man, I love NASA, as you guys know. 1989, Voyager 2 begins a flyby of planet Neptune. Then, of course, the year is 1993. Miss Lacey Ann Lopez said, I do. To one, Mr. Andrew Wellborn, 22 years ago today. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And as you know, Tim, we are where America's voice is heard, my friend.
And we are, and she still regrets that day. No, she doesn't, man. That's congratulations from all of us here to you back there. And I know you're having a great time. You know, we were talking a lot about in that last segment right there, Andrew, about what's happening in Detroit and restructuring. And you kind of talked about what's happening in California and Chuck Reed, the former mayor of San Jose, you know, that Voter Empowerment Act, you know. It seems to be gaining maybe a little bit of ground out here in California, Andrew.
Well, you know, I gave out the numbers of the obligations to the city of Detroit and their pension obligations and their unfunded liabilities, but let's take a look at how that relates to the California public employee retirement system out there on the West Coast. Look, I mean, we just mentioned 32,000 city employees representing $500 million in unfunded obligations. But when you take a look at California, look, we've got 1.6 million members of CalPERS. Okay, CalPERS, as we know, is worth over $300 billion in assets. But in 12 and 13, you know, we got to, as we know, this information comes out several years later and they're adjusted. So the most current information we've got is always going to be up to 2 years old. But in 12 and 13, they paid out $12.7 billion in retirement benefits. And throughout that year, they're looking at $7.5 billion in additional health benefits. Now, that's huge, folks. I mean, we've brought up on our show so many times that right now the state of California, all the way from the municipals to the county to the state government, only pay $4.5 billion annually into that fund off of the taxpayers. So just do the math, folks. I mean, at $12.7 billion back in 2012 and 13, we know going into 15 and 16, those numbers are going to be possibly a little bit higher.
Now, Andrew, we've had a lot of companies and growth leave our great state of California and go elsewhere, Texas, Florida, you know, maybe even Michigan, some. But we've lost a lot of business here. If we had the economic growth that you were talking about, if we had those, a lot of those companies still here, like Stan talked about with Tesla, I know those are small, but little by little, all those things add up. Would we be talking about this today, or was this kind of inevitable, what's going on with retirement for the California workers?
Well, look, folks, and let's do a little union talk here amongst our specific members who happen to listen to this show. You know, we've been advocating since day one that, you know, the Meg Whitman effect now is starting to impact the state employee. Look, the bottom line is had we elected Meg Whitman over Governor Jerry Brown, I think the whole situation may be a little different. But we were so scared because we believed that Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger did some nasty stuff to us. But I have to tell you, by the time Governor Jerry Brown is done with us as state employees, he's going to make, you know, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger look like quite the friendly feller. But the bottom line is this. This is the unintended consequences of backing a governor that had a history, folks. I mean, this is all the way back into the 70s of being anti-prison, anti-law enforcement, anti-state employees. So, you know, the gains that the all gains, guys, that have ever been given to state employees out on the West Coast have come from Republican administrations at the level. I mean, we like to talk about Governor Gray Davis, but if you think about it real quick, folks, we haven't even received half of what that contract guaranteed us, which means that Governor Gray Davis was actually just like most politicians out there. He lied to us when it came to making a deal with us in order to get the support to have him elected. And, of course, we all know historically he became the first governor of California to be what? Recalled.
Christopher Bennett here in the studio. And, Chris, you know, we feel that what's going on, especially with the newer employees in that, so state workers, and what is going on with them. I asked Andrew about the jobs and things. What do you think? Do you think if California was more friendly toward economic growth toward business? We'll be talking about this right now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we are held in check by the taxes that are put upon us. I mean, look right now, California, I want Californians to know this. We pay a dollar more than the California average for gasoline tax.
Yep.
And now they're proposing 12 cents increase for every gallon of gas. Mm-hmm. Plus, they're going to increase your license fees and your registration fees. And, you know, from a libertarian standpoint, taxation is theft. Okay, so every time you raise taxes, you're stealing from the people. We have to work harder, we have to work longer, and we work for less. It takes away our freedom. It takes away our ability to do the things that we love and enjoy and have happiness. So they have to do something. They have to start realizing that if you want to free the people and bring prosperity and happiness to the people of the state of California, you're going to have to lower taxes and you're going to have to lower regulations.
Andrew, in the great state of Michigan, how do they, I know you said they're kind of on the Trump bandwagon back there, but how do they feel about that? Do they feel that same way that Christopher was just talking about?
Well, most people I'm talking about out here are saying the same thing we've been saying about Donald Trump since, you know, the prospect of him entered into the race. Americans are tired. Americans are tired of hearing the rhetoric coming from wannabe elected individuals. And so when Donald Trump comes out and just starts speaking his mind, Americans love that. I mean, it's interesting. I did catch the poll last night where Donald Trump is actually beating Jeb Bush and actually beating Marco Rubio in their home state of Florida for the primary. So, I mean, that tells it all, doesn't it, as far as how serious the Republicans need to take this, man. And without a doubt, people, as you said, Chris, earlier, you know, something to believe in, a little bit of hope, some real hope, you know, to really change Washington, I think is what people are invested in right now with Donald Trump. And all he's got to do is stay in the race. Now, look, man, I hear all the pros talk about, all the big boys and big girls out there talk about how Donald Trump is, the Ross Perot factor is going to kick in. But let me tell you something, we forget something very important about Ross Perot. Ross Perot was winning that election as an independent before he dropped out. And I don't believe that is the case here. Donald Trump is running as a Republican right now, even though he's leveraged, which is what you're going to do. He showed exactly how he was going to accomplish some of the things on the international level if he was willing to leverage the Republican Party on behalf of the American people. I think the American people will eventually begin taking him serious, just as long as he doesn't quit. So as long as Donald Trump just doesn't come in with the quit factor, the Ross Perot factor will not be there. And really, I don't think people are even going to care about some of his past stances that, you know, Karl Rove and the boys are going to try to put out against him.
Andrew, I have a prediction. I want to know what you think. I noticed that, did you ever notice that the investigations in the Veterans Affair, the investigations into the IRS scandal, the investigations into the Fast and Furious drug scandal went nowhere. And I believe that the reason that they went nowhere was because the president, the executor, didn't want them to go anywhere. He has actually stonewalled those investigations. And I have noticed that Hillary Clinton, in this email scandal, the investigation is going forward. The FBI is on it. There is a special independent counsel now investigating Hillary Clinton, and she's under tremendous pressure right now. So as a result, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that the president doesn't want the Clintons in there because he can't control them, and he doesn't feel that they will carry on his policies in the future. So what I'm thinking is he's going to take the White House and back Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren ticket. Joe Biden takes the Hillary votes, and Elizabeth Warren takes the Sanders votes. What do you think?
Well, it's going to be interesting. Look, I mean, I think the Democrats need to be more concerned about Bernie Sanders actually seeking an independent race than we need to be about Donald Trump. I mean, let's face it, we forget that Bernie Sanders is an independent, you know, seeking the Democrat nomination. So he's already an established independent guy. So, you know, I mean, Chris, it's hard to say, man, as far as what's going to happen. You know, speculation is going to be all over the place as far as what the reasons are that the Obama administration's doing this or not doing this. But after October, it's really going to start to hit the fan, as we say, Trey Gowdy. And Congressman Trey Gowdy is the one that we need to make sure he does his job. So as Republicans, just stay out of the way. Don't speculate. It's been my position, as you guys know, since day one. Allow him to finish the job, because otherwise, man, you know, it could be – you know, you got to be careful. I mean, we know that the Clintons know something. We know that, you know, the Obama knows something. We know the administration knows things. But, you know, the bottom line is that when it comes out is when the determination is going to be made. And we're still 6 months out, guys, from Iowa. So it's plenty of time. And so we don't want to get too excited. And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm the first one to tell you, even though I really, really like what Donald Trump is doing, look, there are 17 candidates, and, you know, for the most part, I like most of them. So I don't even think that I've even committed at this point as far as who am I going to support. And as we know, guys, we know that by the time June comes around out in California, when we actually vote in this presidential primary, it's probably already going to be decided.
For the people out there, California and America, there's a website out there that the congressional members do not want you to know about. It's called conservativereview.com, conservativereview.com. And what it does is it matches their voting record and their rhetoric with their what they say and what they do. And there's been a lot of rhetoric and propaganda about libertarians coming out throughout the media lately. And I just want you to know that Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and Rand Paul are on the top of that list for backing up their rhetoric and doing what they say and saying what they do.
Well, I don't know, man. You know that rhetoric you like to talk about, the Libertarian Party. I'm part of that. The Libertarians need to get out of my Republican Party, go back to their party, because their policies and their thoughts, well, they fail, quite honestly. They're not being accepted by the American people. So there's a reason why those three people that you talked about, you know, possibly are going to be listed on a Libertarian website. Now, let's talk about this race real quick, Tim. I'm kind of watching the time here a little bit. But look, there's some possibilities, I think, that are going to happen. Let's say, for instance, if Donald Trump were to win the nomination, you know, obviously he's going to have a choice. Obviously, John Kasich is actually, you know, setting himself up to be the most likely vice presidential picks. And so if Donald Trump wins the nomination, obviously he'll look at that. If Jeb Bush somehow pulls this off, obviously he's going to look at John Kasich also. But if you notice, as soon as Donald Trump kind of leaked out there that he may be interested in a female vice presidential candidate, you notice that Carly Fiorina's campaign immediately backed off of him. I haven't heard her attack him. I haven't heard her campaign. It's like they woke up and said, whoa, Carly, relax, relax. Let's get on this Donald Trump coattail here a little bit. So obviously, you know, your beloved Ted Cruz, Chris, is going to be an obvious pick for possible Attorney General of the United States, or maybe even a Supreme Court nomination, because I just don't think that he's going to win the nomination at this point, but it's still 5 months out. Marco Rubio and Carly Fiorina will probably battle it out for the, I don't know, Secretary of State position. I think she's probably going to be the most likely choice due to the fact that she's got the relationships across the nation and around the world that she's already stated. And then if not the Secretary of State, obviously I think she'd be ideal for the Department of Interior with her business background, understand the importance of regulations being, you know, maybe removed. You know, somebody's going to oversee the EPA so that the private industry can get America going again.
Donald Trump had 10,000 people going to an arena today, I believe in Alabama or Georgia. They had to reschedule it to a football stadium, I believe, of 40,000 out there. So just for a rally out there, Donald Trump going to draw 40,000 out there. That is amazing. Andrew, what do you got for us from Facebook?
I think 40,000 for a Donald Trump rally right there is going to be indicative of, you know, basically just passed up Bernie Sanders. But I have to tell you, man, politics are politics. But right now, it's time to do some partying. It's time to hit the boat. It's time to crack this adult beverage. I'm having a great time. Here, listen. Oh, hopefully you heard that.
I got one
of
that one.
Beverages out here, Labatt's Blue. And I have to tell you, man, yeah, that's where I am heading right now.
All right, what do you got for us from our favorite book, buddy?
Okay, now, from my favorite book. In time of trouble, he shall set me upon a rock. That comes from Psalms 27:5. God bless you, America.
503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we always want to thank those firefighters out there in California fighting that fire, trying to trying to contain something that's out of control, keeping Californians safe, along with all the men and women who go to work, working the toughest beat in the state, forming a duty so that you, our listener, up and down to California and across this great nation, can be safe.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right after the news at 12:15 on 1240 KSUE and at SierraDailyNews.com. In about a half hour of the show, go to the website, SierraDailyNews.com, and catch the podcast as well. Don't forget about the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, our website there as well. And grab a cup of coffee. Saturday mornings at 7 before the news, and Sundays about 7:30 before pre-programmed material. You can catch the rebroadcast. Christopher and Stan, I can't thank you guys enough for coming in the studio. And Andrew back in Detroit for Andrew, Kid Rock taking us out. And don't forget, America, we were all born free.
Let me think.